This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 12:48. Coming up in the next hour, Cam Moon from the Red Deer Rebels, play-by-play guy and a good guy. Also play-by-play for Oklahoma City Barons, Jim Byers, and Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun will be by to talk to us as well. Very busy show, and we're delighted to welcome Kirk Ludeke from Redline Report in. Kirk, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Alan. How are you?
I'm well, except that I have some friends who are Flyers fans, so could you ask the Bruins to back off on the scoreboard and the hits and the temple shots?
Yeah, hey, old-time hockey, right? Ronaldo and Horton just went at it there a couple minutes ago, and if nothing else, the Flyers fans are certainly getting their money's worth today.
Well, the Bruins are my second favorite team, so I'm okay with it. But, before we go on, Boston is they started slowly, but, man, they look like the defending Stanley Cup champions right now.
Yeah, they're pretty good, no doubt about it. And, you know, the thing is, the organization isn't done. Scouting prep. Games over the weekend here and last couple days, and they had about six guys at the Avon class, Christmas Classic, looking at Buñuevas. So, you know, that's you can't rest on your laurels. You still have to continue to build the organization, and they clearly recognize that. So that's a good sign for the future for Bruins fans.
Tell us a little bit about this kid. There's a little bit of a buzz going on about him at Avon Old Farms, I think. Is that what it's called?
Well, that was the venue he played for, Kent. Yeah, no, he's just a role. I mean, he's a 6'3 player who, you know, has a tremendous skating ability and is a real offensive talent. Another guy I saw this week of interest is Brian Hart of Phillips Exeter. Although if you're from New England, it's Brian Hatt. Between Brian Hatt and Chris Kreider, they have the Phillips Exeter and Andover have things pretty well covered there. So,
yeah, but are those all like Tom Pody came from Cushing Academy? There's Phillips Exeter, Avon. Are those all high school teams?
Yeah, they're prep schools, but yeah, they're high school kids and. Varying degrees. I mean, back in the old days when Jeremy Roenick was coming out of those ranks and Tony Amonte and guys like that, it was considered a much higher level of competition. But junior leagues and demands of the area players elsewhere and other, in major junior and things like that have kind of watered down the talent level. So it's kind of like the old box of chocolates effect. You never know what you're going to get when you go to a prep game. And what ends up happening is you have some real talented guys, but they're on some, you're not seeing powerhouse teams. You might see, like, for example, in the Exeter game, Hart was really the only guy to see. The building was full of NHL scouts, but everyone was there to see him. And you want to be at games where you're seeing more than one guy, that you're hoping to project at the NHL level. So that's kind of the reality, but it is what it is, and you do the best you can, with the region. And there are some good players. I wouldn't say there's high-end guys coming out. And, again, I have to defer to Kyle Woodleaf. He's my boss. So I don't want to go too much into this. It's really his job to talk the draft guys. But, there are some interesting players maybe in the second rounds and middle rounds this year, a little more depth. Compared to last year, which was a pretty thin year overall for the area.
The scouting gig for Redline is giving you a chance to see some outstanding draft eligibles, which you saw in the past. But do you enjoy this side of it? Do you enjoy the scouting portion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something I've always had a passion for and something I've always wanted to do. And, I learn so much and try to, it's just funny. Every game I go to, I learn something new and try to pick up on different things. And, it's a fun ride, but you have to read the fine print. You do get stuck in some pretty cold buildings watching some pretty low-end hockey some nights.
Yeah.
When you're like me and you've seen your share of NHL games, sometimes that reality hits you upside the head pretty good.
One of the stories here in Edmonton or a surrounding area with regard to the World Juniors is Charlie Coyle and him leaving for the Q.
Right.
We've heard his side of it because, he's been interviewed because he's in Edmonton and area about, he didn't want to talk about it too much, but rumors of his grades being bad were, from what he said, were not the issue. Have you heard another side of it from the other side?
No, I really haven't. I mean, I think you always hear rumors, and at this point, what I've heard is not something that I really am in a position to come on and speculate about. He made the decision, and obviously there's an upside for him to to go to the Q because he's going to get that pro-style schedule, and he's going to play a lot more games. Plus, Zach Phillips is on the Sea Dogs, and they were playing together, I guess, at the development camp there over the summer in Minnesota. So, you know, this comes down to, I think, some personal choices on his part, and I'm sure there's a side of the story that will come out from the team eventually, but I'm just going to let that happen. You know, heck of a player. I mean, he was my number one guy coming out of New England for the 2010 draft, so, you know, it's good to see him on Team USA, and I think his focus, rightfully so, is on the World Junior Tournament right now, and we'll just have to let the chips fall where they may when he finishes up and heads home and then off to the Maritimes from the sounds of it.
The Americans are always regarded as a strong contender, and this year no different. Cut down day, I think you guys is later about 22nd of December for the American team. How many difficult decisions do you think there'll be for Team USA, or is the team fairly set?
No, I think there's going to be some decisions. I mean, they have, you know, they brought a lot of quality guys. I think the way the USA works, though, is that, you know, they're more of a system-based team, so they tend to take guys that, number one, have been through in the program and are familiar with the system and have you know, paid their proverbial dues, so to speak. And so you're going to see the guys that were on the team last year, they're locks. And then you have some guys that weren't on the team last year, but it came through the National Team Development Program, and they have a very good chance of making the team. And then you have a few guys like your Connor Brickleys, for example, who he wasn't on the National Team Development Program, but he did play on the under-18 team that won gold in 2010. And so he's, again, familiar with what's expected of him. A guy like Austin Watson, same thing. And so even though they aren't, you know, Ann Arbor products per se, they have played, represented USA internationally and had some success, and so they can play a specific role. I mean, a guy like Connor Brickley, he's not there to score points, but he's going to give him that gritty edge, in-your-face, tenacious forechecker type guy that I think they were lacking last year when they went up against Canada. And you got to have that, because Canada, on the other hand, you know, Canada has such a strong pool to choose from, and they really bring their best, most talented guys. USA takes a slightly different approach, but it's worked for them. What can you say?
One area that I think the Americans have a great edge is goaltending. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a paradox, right? Because Jack Campbell's been so strong internationally. I mean, I think you could make the case that he might be the best international goalie of all time, just in terms of what he's accomplished. I mean, this is his third World Junior Championship. He's got a gold. He's got a bronze. He's got several golds in the under-18s. I mean, he's just a tremendous guy, you know, competitor, person. But he just hasn't enjoyed that same kind of success in the OHL. And it's kind of a head-scratcher, you know, 10th overall pick for the Stars, and some such big things are expected of him in the OHL, and just hasn't come together. But boy, you know, I watched him. I was in Buffalo last year, and he had been struggling in Windsor, yet he goes to the World Juniors, and it's like he flips a switch, and he's a whole nother player, and he brings it up a whole nother notch. So, and you know what, his backup, John Gibson, he's no slouch either. I mean, you know, his misfortune is that he's only a year younger than Jack Campbell, because, you know, I think that you know, in all rights, Gibson's been, you know, quite good himself. He just doesn't have the opportunities to play, you know, at the World Junior level, at least, because he's got such a accomplished guy in front of him. But he's a similar kind of player in that the bigger the game is and the tougher the moment, he just maintains his calm and his poise, and he just finds a way to make that big save. And we saw that from him repeatedly last year in the under-18s in April. And, you know, I just can't say enough. I remember one NHL scout I was talking to about Gibson last year, and he said, you know, you can't coach a player to have ice water in his veins, you know, when the game's on the line, and that is an ability that a player either has or he doesn't, and Gibson has that. So, and I think he and Campbell both have it, and so that gives the U.S. a pretty sizable advantage going in.
Kirk, thanks for this so much, and we're going to have you back soon again.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on. Take care.
All right. Kirk Ludeke from Redline Report, formerly a Bruins Draft Watch, and a really smart guy, and gives us great insight about an area of the world that is, well, it's a little ways away, but he has updated us over the last year or so with some great information, and we're very appreciative. It's 12:58. Coming up in the next hour, we've got Cam Moon from the Red Deer Rebels, Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun, and Jim Byers. We're going to check out the Oklahoma City Barons and Magnus Pajarvi. It's all coming up. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.